This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Tuesday, the 13th of February, and welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Ruby Susan. On tonight's show, we head to Geelong's first Pride March and saw religious protesters drowned out by LGBTIQ celebration, proving that when you stand tall with pride, nothing can stop you. We speak to equality advocate Riley Burris, who Premier Daniel Andrews named Volunteer of the Year for his work in supporting young transgender people in regional Victoria. And we look at a recent survey that found how we treat transgender people globally to see where Australia ranks and where we can improve in creating a more supportive environment for our gender diverse and trans community. Also, a reminder that tomorrow is the final day for online submissions for the Philip Roddick's Religious Freedom Review. With evidence taken in private sessions, it is more important than ever that we make sure our voices are heard. Religious organisations do not need protection from our community, and preventative laws are not the way forward. It is in our hands how this will play out. You can send a submission to religiousfreedom@pmc.gov.au or fill it out online. I just finished mine off earlier today. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Informer.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
A global study examined attitudes towards gender people and found that 2 in 5 Australians purposely misgender trans people. We take a look at this data to find out how inclusive Australia is when it comes to global trans attitudes. What do we need to change and where should it begin? One second.
A recent survey of 27 countries was conducted by Ipsos, a global research company, to find out what the global attitudes towards transgender people are. We spoke to Jennifer Brooke, the Director of Public Affairs for Ipsos Melbourne, about the results of this survey that not only show the global attitudes towards trans people, but Australia's attitude and how we compare to the rest of the world.
So I think that Australia sort of is a bit more noticeable in things such as agreement with statements such as transgender people are brave. So we saw 63% of Australians agreeing with that statement compared with 60% globally. Also, probably of note is that we think that Australia is becoming more tolerant towards transgender people. 71% agreed with that compared with 59% globally. Also, Australians want our country to do more to support and protect transgender people. So 58% of people agreed with that statement. And that was sort of on par with global, actually. That was around 60% globally as well. I think where it's quite interesting is to do with transgender people's rights. So, for example, in Australia, 3/4 of us that agree that transgender people should be protected from discrimination by the government, compared with 70% globally. Also, in terms of transgender people being allowed to have access to surgery so that their body matches their identity, we had 72% of Australians agreeing with that compared with 69% globally. So in terms of rights and even in terms of something like being able to serve in the military, 67% of Australians agreed that transgender people should be allowed to serve in the military compared with 61% globally.
Although we might all know somebody who's trans, can the same be said for the rest of Australia?
So with Australia, we had 18% saying that they had acquaintances who were transgender people and 10% having personal friends, family who identified as transgender. But we still have, you know, an awful lot of the population not being particularly familiar. So 46% of Australians said that they had seen people like this but do not know them personally, and 29% saying that they rarely or never encounter transgender people.
To get the most accurate results, surveyors made sure to include a wide range of people.
So this data was collected in an online, using an online methodology, which means that we use a panel of people who have said that they would be happy to take part in market research, and that would have been the same in all of the markets that we did the research in as well. And so that's a good mix of the population. We make sure that we recruit people to those panels so that it's quite representative in terms of age and location across Australia as well.
Although not perfect, Australia's attitude towards trans people was mostly positive.
I think it's perhaps a bit of a mixed bag. So, for example, we do see with Australians being a bit more willing to use pronouns of the way that people present themselves to the world as opposed to how they might have been born. So in terms of using the pronouns for transgender women, so we asked people what pronoun they would use when speaking about people who dress and live as one sex even though they were born another. So in terms of someone who was considered perhaps male at birth but dresses and lives as a woman, we had 44% saying that they would use a feminine pronoun, and for someone who was considered female at birth but dresses and lives as a man, 14% wanting to use a feminine pronoun, 42% said that they would use a masculine pronoun. So compared with some of the other countries, we're doing a bit better there, I think. And certainly, in terms of rights, I think that Australia feels that transgender people should be protected from discrimination, and as I said, having access to surgery if they wanted it, being able to conceive and give birth to children, that's something as well that Australians feel that transgender people should be able to do for the most part.
One of the great outcomes of surveys like this is being able to identify where we need to improve.
Globally, we found that 21% agreed with the statement that society has gone too far in allowing people to dress and live as one sex, even though they were born another. And in Australia, that was 26%. So we're seeing around a quarter of Australians agreeing with that. And I think that that probably reflects a little bit of a tendency for Australians to perhaps cringe at some of the political correctness. And so even though I feel that we find that Australians are pretty tolerant and do feel pretty strongly about protection of rights of transgender people, there is still that little funny feeling about political correctness. So I think that perhaps if we can have that, the feeling of rights being translated to that sort of tolerance regardless of the political context, that would be a great thing.
But it's important not to lose sight of the progress we've made.
I think around that right to have children, adopt children, that's where we see Australia fairly high again. So we had 67% of Australians saying that transgender people should be allowed to conceive or give birth to children, and 63% agreeing that transgender people should be allowed to adopt children, and that was lower amongst the global sample, so 59% and 55% respectively globally. So you do see Australians being more tolerant and more accepting of people's rights to raise children.
That was Darcy Meehan speaking to Jennifer Brooke from Ipsos.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427JOY949, email on air at joy.org.au, or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
This weekend, 75 kilometres south of Melbourne, Geelong exploded with colour and pride as they held the first Geelong Rainbow Pride Festival that brought the communities of the LGBTI and allies together. It also saw the first Pride March for the town, and while the weekend was filled with community pride, the march did see protesters try to rain on Geelong's parade.
This weekend saw Geelong's first Pride March as the town's rainbow community celebrated during the Geelong Rainbow Festival. But during the inaugural march, some protesters arose, holding signs with religious messages saying repent or perish. We spoke to Geelong Rainbow Inc.'s Vice President Sarah Hathaway, who organised Sunday's Pride March, about what planning it meant and how they navigated this odd religious opposition to standing together as a community with pride.
We had a lot of marches for marriage equality in Geelong last year particularly, so it was recreating that same sort of vibe but less of a protest and more of a celebration. But ironically, it did end up becoming somewhat of a protest and a celebration due to some unwanted guests.
The marchers met at Little Mallop Street Mall, marching along to Johnson Park to commence the Barber Queer Party and picnic as part of the festival.
As people were arriving in the mall in central Geelong, there was at least three, possibly more, sort of Westboro Baptist far-right church types with, you know, God hates gays, you know, that kind of general signage. People reacted in different ways. Some people were pretty upset about that. Other people thought it was a bit of a joke. And some of us were just a bit bemused by the fact that they were there, given that we never saw them during the marriage equality. So it's just bizarre, you know, when it's all, when marriage equality is all done and dusted and we're there to celebrate and it's, you know, apolitical and not meant to be rah-rah, that's when they decide to show up. So I'm not sure where they've been for the last 3 or 4 years.
President of Geelong Rainbow Inc. Lindell said that they weren't discouraged by the protesters, who didn't take away from a beautiful and colourful day of pride.
That was certainly different to how we imagined it to be. However, again, for the first one, we're really happy with how it went and, you know, the people and groups that came along to support us. And in hindsight, 10 o'clock on Sunday morning wasn't the best timing. But we certainly, yeah, learnt and know that things next time will be different. However, it was a success and we're happy with that. Yeah, I hadn't expected the religious people being there with their signs. That was not on my radar. Because I've never come to any of our other sort of rallies or anything, so I was sort of surprised to see them there. So they were actually there before people started arriving for the march. And I, you know, they were not saying a word. So I thought, okay, you know, just let them be. But however, once the crowd sort of got there, they started to voice their views and opinions. So we turned the music up and just played music. And it was like, for some of us, it was like they were almost weren't even there. There was only three of them, and three's enough to I guess, create awareness that there's still work to be done. And honestly, I don't know how they could have been feeling when there was so much community and so much support and love within the rainbow community. I think they might have been feeling a bit intimidated. Who knows? But yeah, it certainly didn't rain on our parade whatsoever.
For a moment, it did change the tone of what standing with pride in this way meant for Geelong's community. But Hathaway shares how no one was raining on Geelong's parade.
So initially we were gathering sort of towards the back of the mall to avoid a confrontation. We were trying to keep people together because there were a few that were, understandably pretty upset when they showed up and saw those signs. But then as our numbers started to grow, we encouraged people to go to the front of the mall and stand in front of the three people holding these signs, because that was essentially the first thing people were seeing as they walked in. So, you know, we took our pride banners and placards and flags and just went and stood in front of them, drowned them out with some Lady Gaga and got on with it in discussion with them. But it wasn't particularly productive, so in the end we just...
For 3 days, Geelong exploded with pride, colour, inclusion and diversity.
We were totally amazed at the turnout over the whole 3 days, but the Pride March particularly, we had about 300 people, and that's on par with some of our marriage equality rallies. Being the first Pride March, being that, you know, some people feel that we've had a big win and maybe there isn't much of a reason to come out on the streets anymore, we certainly weren't expecting that turnout. And so many people travelled from Melbourne as well and came down to support us, which was really amazing. It's nice when Melbourne people travel down to Geelong than the other way around. So it was really positive.
Drag King Justin Tulika was not only a headliner of the festival, but found himself blown away by the celebration of Pride in Geelong.
All of Geelong came together and it was just a huge party, big celebration for everything that our community had achieved. And everyone down there is just so friendly. It's amazing. Such good people. We rocked up at about 10 a.m. and there was music blaring, people were dancing, and then there were a couple of protesters as well, just kind of standing in the background, not really communicating with anyone, just being silent with their billboards. And a lot of people were just running around taking photos in front of them and hugging each other and just being happy that we were all there. So it didn't really faze us too much that they were there, because we were just also so happy to have, you know, the Geelong Rainbow Festival happen. So it was well organized and there was a lot of people there. It was great. We all just got together and just had a really great weekend. We were at the Johnson Park on Sunday afternoon, and it was just kids and dogs, and it was just an unbelievable experience. I felt so spoiled and so blessed to have been there and entertained the crowds, and everyone was so appreciative. It was great. I didn't know what to expect when I went in, and there was just no, I don't know if animosity is the right word, but there was so much love in the air. And I think after we got the yes vote as well, everyone was there just, it was not so much of a protest, it was more of a celebration and coming together as a family and as a community. So, and everyone down there is so friendly, so lovely, and everyone was just happy to be there. And the march was just incredible. You know, there were cars hooting at us, and so happy to see a whole bunch of colours and different faces, and it was good. It's really good.
All that's left now is to start preparing for next year's festival, which will be even bigger than this year's. But Hathaway says that's all because of the community, who are happy to share their pride with everyone.
Thank you to the broader community in Geelong and others that travel from Victoria. Been a weekend of firsts, and it's been a learning experience, but yeah, the support they got behind it, we're definitely keen to do it all again next year and make it bigger and better.
That was Dina Curie covering the inaugural Geelong Pride March as part of the Geelong Rainbow Festival.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Equality advocate Riley Breese has been honoured by being named Premier Daniel Andrews Volunteer of the Year for his work supporting young transgender people in regional Victoria. Dina Curie spoke with Riley about what this meant for him and found out exactly how he has helped to improve and change the lives of transgender people right across regional Victoria.
At just 20 years old, Riley Breese was this week formally recognised at the Premier's award ceremony as Volunteer of the Year for helping to change the landscape of care and support for transgender Victorians through the founding of the Gateway Health Gender Service. Even though Riley has been working as an advocate for many years, being announced as the recipient of Volunteer of the Year was not something he was prepared for.
It took me a second because I only found out for the volunteer award itself, not the main one. I found out through an email. So about that one, I found out and I was a bit surprised, I think, at first for the minor one. And then when I found out about the actual Volunteer of the Year, the main award, they said it very quickly and I didn't know that I was going to win it until they announced it at the ceremony. So I think it was a bit shocking and overwhelming at first. Reading through the program of the other people that were nominated, it just, I mean, that I would actually get the award, just, it was a bit baffling to me, just because, you know, my 4 years in advocacy and volunteering was nothing compared to the amount of time that some of the other volunteers had put in. So I think that, for me, was one of the big things, is just comparing myself, which probably isn't a good thing to do, to the other nominees.
The achievements of over 60 volunteers across Victoria were formally recognised at the event, celebrating the vital roles volunteers play in creating a happier, healthier and well-connected community. Riley's work founding the Gateway Health Gender Centre has helped to provide information and referrals to children questioning their gender and other young people, and offers assistance to families and professionals such as doctors and teachers to help support gender-diverse children.
Gateway Health Gender Service is located in Wodonga, which runs out of Gateway Health. And it's a gender service for children at the, just at this stage up to the age of 18. And what the service does is really moves the support and care needed from Melbourne to Wodonga, so that instead of having to travel so much as we used to down to Melbourne to the Royal Children's Hospital to get onto things like puberty blockers and hormone treatments, we can now do that in our local area. So we've actually got some GPs and physicians involved with the service. And so besides some of the more major things such as bone density scans and things like that, which do still need to be done at the Royal Children's Hospital, basically everything else can be done from the service.
It's Riley's own personal experience that's helped them see a need for action in this space and to not only point it out, but create the foundations to make something better for others.
For myself, I started my journey probably about 6 years ago now, I think, if my math is right. So I was one of the few that did actually have to travel to back, you know, to and from Melbourne monthly for several years to get my assessments and my treatment underway. So for me, it was obviously I experienced and noticed a big lack of support and lack of services that we had in the local area and in the rural areas of Victoria. And so it was a big thing for me to be able to assist and take part in setting up the service so that other kids don't have to and other families don't have to go through the pressure of travelling such a distance so often. Seeing as though it's connected to my own personal journey, it was really, with the corniest term, uplifting, because I knew that it'd be helping, the generations below me, that I know what it would have been like for them to have the hardships of distance and of struggling to find services. So it was really kind of, I think I've used those terms before as well, uplifting and heartwarming to know that, you know, the future generations and youth, transgender youth for our area and other areas being referred to Wodonga are going to have a much quicker and closer access to service and to support as well, mainly.
Along with the award, Riley received the Jame Elizabeth Murdoch Trophy and $10,000 to the charity of his choice.
The charity of my choice was not even questionable for me, so the Wodonga Gender Service will be receiving that donation. I want to make sure they get that money, because receiving that funding just means that there's a lot more that the service will be able to do and a lot more children that they're going to be able to come forth and help and assist, and a lot more support, not just within the service, but as well as reaching out to support families and siblings and parents as well on a regular basis, that they're going to be able to provide for, yeah, the families and actual transgender individuals themselves. Being in a regional area of Victoria is the major difficulty in accessing the things we need, the services and support that we need. So the thing is that it is a lot closer now. And so the difficulty that's mainly in people's way is, or has always been, that distance. And the fact that locally there hasn't been a lot of knowledge of where to go and where to direct families for support and services. So now that we've got somewhere regionally that, you know, is or can stand out and can be shared around, where we don't have to have families travelling into the city, because a lot of difficulty was just in access and knowing where to refer families to.
It's amazing what you can achieve when you put your mind to it, proving that at any age you can make a difference for those who follow you. And no matter who you are, if you want to make a change, all you've got to do is do it.
Don't be afraid to use your voice and to speak up and ask the people around you, even if you don't have a lot of people or a very large support system. Between the people that are in your support system and the people that do care about you and love you, there's going to be even little tidbits from each individual person that you will be able to put together yourself to figure out exactly what you want to do, where you want to be, and what you want to be doing and who you are.
That was Dina Curie speaking to Victoria's Volunteer of the Year, Riley Breese.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
A reminder, tomorrow is the final day for online submissions for Philip Ruddock's Religious Freedom Review. Given the evidence we'll all be taking part in sessions that are closed to the public, it is more important than ever that we make sure our voices are heard. Religious organisations are already protected in our laws and constitution, and they do not need any further protections from our community, as we are not a threat. Preventative laws and extending religious discriminations are not the way forward. It is up to us to take a part in how this will play out. You can send your submissions to religiousfreedom@pmc.gov.au, and they need to be in by tomorrow. Interesting Valentine's Day. Look, you can also go online to the site and you can fill out the form they do provide there. It does not take long, and you don't need to be quoting any particular, you don't need to be quoting our constitution. You can just point out that there are already laws to protect that. We have a separation of church and state, and that the Dean Smith's amendment to the Marriage Act ensured that no religious institution could be forced to do something they didn't want to do when it came to gender and sexually diverse people. I would recommend, if you've got some time, that you do jump online and just have and fill something out. It can be a matter of numbers, playing the numbers game, and making sure they understand that a lot of people are quite concerned about the direction that this could go. That is it for another episode of The Informer, bringing the news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. A podcast of tonight's episode will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcasting platform. Don't forget to follow us on social media at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer at Joy on Twitter. If you've a story or a tip you'd like to share with us, please do get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. Now, please do stay tuned. Up next, we'll be talking with Worldwide Wave are on to take us internationally to see how we've been going there, followed by Urban Dreaming, and after that, Triple Bypass. So plenty to listen to for the rest of the night. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Joy 94.9. This has been The Informer. My name is Ruby Susan.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.